Hey, what's up? This is Kevin for Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 200 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I am super excited to bring you my interview with Scott Fogle from Alice's Restaurant. It's the restaurant at Treaty Oak Distilling. And as you know, Treaty Oak Distilling is a partner of the show, but I've wanted to talk to Scott for a long time. I've seen his progression, and I knew that he was putting out top-notch barbecue at Alice's Restaurant, and I thought it'd be great to share his stories so you could see all the places that he worked at and see where he created his skill set that he now uses today. The first part of this interview, which was recorded May 1st, talks about what Treaty Oak is doing right now during the coronavirus. At that time, they're open to 25% capacity. Now, today, they're open at 50% capacity. If you're watching this later, it might be 100% capacity. Wonderfully, distillery tours are back on. Just check their website because there's some restrictions, and capacity has increased due to no limitations for outdoor seating. They're going to be bringing back live music this summer. What I would do is I would go online to their website and sign up for their newsletter. That way, you're always up to date. They're at Treaty Oak on Instagram too, and they update that all the time. Treaty Oak and all the social media, and treatyoakdistilling.com is their website. But this one with Scott is really cool. It's really interesting. So As I was saying in the beginning, we talk about Treaty Oak, then we get into his history. At the beginning, not barbecue, and then he starts working with Miguel at Valentina's, and then additional amazing places along the way. Scott will tell you that story. And then at the end, we get into the menu at Treaty Oak Distilling, the smokers that they're using. They have a new pit from Ryan at Backline Fabrication, 1,000 gallon. We talk about the sides. We talk about the process when you come there to eat at the restaurant, what it's all about. We talk about sanitizer, which is on the table, which you could actually order as well and purchase on location. We talk about their whiskeys. They have three of them. They have the red-handed rye whiskey. They have the red-handed bourbon whiskey. And they have the Ghost Hill Texas Bourbon Whiskey, my favorite. It's also Scott's favorite. It's incredible. All their whiskeys are amazing. They also have gin. I don't have a bottle of gin. I'm a whiskey, bourbon guy, scotch guy, so I don't have gin. But we talk about the property, and we talk about how beautiful it is, and we talk about Dan, the owner, and Alice's restaurant. Alice is his mom, so it's named after the owner's mom. And we talk about what a great company it is to work with. If you go visit them, you'll realize how great a company it is and how much of a family it is. But Scott talks about that deeply. It's the best company he's ever worked for in his entire life. Alice's restaurant is open Friday through Sunday, noon to 9 p.m. The grocery there at Alice's restaurant is open 7 days a week from noon to 7. I'll put a link to the grocery below. Amazing items, huge selection. They started at the beginning with staples, but now they have a well-built out almost entire grocery store. So check it out online. It's up to date. Order ahead. Head over there. Have a cocktail while you wait for your grocery. While you're waiting for the restaurant, have a cocktail. I can't thank Scott enough for taking the time to share his entire story, share all about Treaty Oak. By the end, you'll understand so much more, and you'll definitely understand what goes into their product and everything that they're trying to present. Let me know in the comments below what you think of Treaty Oak Distilling, which one's your favorite. And if you head out to their property in Dripping Springs, shoot me over some photos, I'll share them. I can't wait to get out there. Have a great day. Well, good morning, Scott, and I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Yeah.
How are you doing today? How are things? Today's your first day. We're gonna get back to your backstory, but today's your first day. It's May 1st. It's your first day being, what, 25% open?
We're gonna be 25% open today. So we spent all day yesterday getting ready for it, and should be interesting.
It's also, as I was reading like the press release and I was writing some stuff up, you're also going to have a staggered, like, letting people into the property. It's a 28-acre property. Can you describe maybe Treaty Oak a little bit?
Yeah, we're out in Dripping Springs off of Fitchie Road, almost to 12, it's Highway 12. And yeah, we're sitting on about 26 to 28 acres. We broke off a couple of acres in Barton Springs Mill, built their mill on here, and that's the mill that provides us all the grain that we do our spirits with.
Oh, wow.
Literally, they're on site right now. And we have plenty of space. There's several different buildings. Of course, we're not allowing people in buildings right now. All seating is going to be outside. We've got everything spaced out. And as you can imagine, with 26 acres, we can handle quite a few people. So our 25% is pretty high.
That's true.
We've got about 50 tables that hold about 6 people. I don't think we're going to let anybody over 6 sit at any tables. You can come to the property, you can grab a cocktail, and then you can come check in. We're going to run it kind of like other restaurants have, where you have a waiting area. We got this beautiful property. There's other tables they can sit at, but they're just here to eat. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give them about a 2-hour window.
Oh, okay.
They get sat. They can order a drink. we normally do counter service. We're going to run on with wait staff today, though.
I saw that.
We're going to do that for quite a while. It might even end up being our new business model. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Yeah, we've learned a lot through this. And, you know, as horrible as it's been, there's going to be some silver linings that come out of this. As far as, you know, there's no playbook for this. We're all making it up as we go along. It's going to be interesting. There's a little bit of a pucker factor there. I'm not going to lie. We're not sure what kind of turnout we're going to have, but all signs point to us. We're going to probably be pretty slammed.
People have been coming and ordering online and getting to go, right? Isn't that how it's been?
That's right. We've been doing that. We also set up kind of like an online grocery store for.
I saw. That's pretty impressive.
It worked out really well. And then, of course, we retooled our distillery to turn it into a sanitizer plant for now, too.
That's a really good thing.
Yep. So we're not producing any booze right now, but we'll catch back up, you know.
Also, too, I saw that there would be hand sanitizer on the tables, and then you have the option, too, if you want to purchase some on site to bring home.
Sure.
Not the ones that you're using on the table, but separate.
Yeah. Well, we're going to ask people not to take those, but I'm sure somebody will. But we have plenty to back it up and put another one out there. But every table will have hand sanitizer on it. And when somebody gets up and leaves, part of the wait staff's job is to disinfect that entire table.
And you know what? And like these are the silver linings, too, is the world's going to be a lot cleaner place.
It is.
And hopefully going forward, people, a year or two, 5 years from now, people will continue to keep these habits and practices.
For sure. And respect people's personal space just in general.
True. Yeah, I know. There's a lot of people that sit far too close to me at times. And not that it's always bad, but it's sometimes. So let's go back. So did you grow up in Texas?
I did. I was born and raised in Dallas, Texas. Went to Baylor University in Waco.
Okay.
I moved back to Dallas after that. Well, actually, I moved to Angel Fire, New Mexico for 3 years.
How was that?
It was fun. It was supposed to be for one season, turned into three, teaching skiing and snowboarding.
Oh, right.
And that's actually where my love of brisket really evolved, was up there, believe it or not, of all places.
How was that? Like, did they have pits up there?
I worked with a guy that was from Texas. And this was about 97, 98, somewhere around in there. You know, I grew up eating it. Of course, you live in Texas. Everybody's got their favorite barbecue joint. But I'd never really cooked one. I'd always been into cooking them. And there was a guy up there named Wade Stallings, and he was from Dallas as well. And he had an old hot water heater that he had completely gutted, literally sitting on – he had cut a door in it. It was literally sitting on cinder blocks, kind of at an angle. And he would build a fire in one end, and he would set one brisket on the other end. And I got obsessed.
Wow, that's awesome. How did your first ones turn out?
Horrible. Absolutely horrible. You thought they were good, but no.
It was, you know why it was good? I've often thought about this. I've wondered why, because I think it's just the fact you're cooking meat, and people, we all love meat. And so if you don't know the difference of what a really good brisket or a proper brisket tastes like, you're just happy you're eating cooked meat.
Exactly. And also, back then, you didn't have all the resources online.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't have cell phones that you could just look up a YouTube video real quick.
You didn't have like Instagram photos galore of everything.
We couldn't trim them. We didn't know what we were doing, trimming them, prepping them. You know, it was like, here's a piece of meat. Let's just throw it on and see what happens, you know?
Well, but that love of barbecue, when you came back to Texas, did you instantly go into the business?
No. I was in national advertising for about 5 years, and it was in the sales division. So that morphed. My whole family has a construction background.
Okay.
Both my father and grandfather owned construction companies.
Oh, wow.
Something where I would never get into, because that was my childhood jobs. That was my high school jobs, you know, dirty work. That advertising sales, I wanted to move out of Dallas. My whole family had moved away to the Rocky Mountains, and I wanted to get out. So I found a job in Denver doing lumber sales.
Oh, interesting.
I got into that aspect of construction, just doing sales. It was a great job. I lived in Denver, but my sales territory was all up in the mountains.
How did you like living in Denver? Because my dad was born in Denver, and they used to be my territory for another job, and I love going to Denver and going to Boulder.
Oh, I love it. I've been there for about 13 years now. It's a great, great city. I was up there for about 5 years, and then one of my dad's buddies that owned a construction company who used to work for my father gave me a call one day and said, hey, I've got some projects out here. I could really use your help. That project happened to be in Maui. So I said, all right, I'll just spend a year in Maui. Why not? Let's go check it out.
What part of Maui?
Lahaina.
Which is, if for people don't know, it's kind of like the center of, like, between, like, Wailea and Kaanapali, right? Isn't it?
Yeah. I actually lived on Lower Kaanapali Shores Highway.
Okay.
Driven to Lahaina. But so that we were remodeling a Marriott out there.
Okay.
And after that, the next job was in, well, it was called Corona Del Mar, California, up there where you are, in between Laguna and Newport.
Another nice, gosh, you look at these places, like this, if you just think about where you've lived, those are just fantastic places. It's like a chance. They're so different and so unique. That's killer.
Yeah, it was great.
What were you building in Corona?
Marriott.
Okay.
We were remodeling Marriotts.
Okay.
This guy has a contract with Marriott, and he does them all over the United States.
Because I used to sell in past life with my dad when he was alive, we sold furniture to hotels. And so on the hospitality side, so, and my dad lived in Hawaii for a while, like, yeah.
We did that. Then the next set of jobs were in Austin, Texas. And I was like, well, this is my chance to move to Austin. I'd always loved Austin. Most of my friends that I grew up with live here. So they sent me to Austin. We had five hotels that we did here. So the first year I lived here, they paid for my rent and I had a per diem
Wow.
and paid me to move here. And after that year was up, they wanted me to go to the Carolinas and I decided this is where I get off. And
Yeah.
I've been here ever since. Construction for years, but as you know, with construction and the economy goes up and down, you're always getting laid off, furloughed, and then brought back. And
For sure.
finally got tired of it. And that was the point where I decided I was going to go work for Miguel.
Oh, so that was when you got to work at Valentina's. Okay.
Yep. And it was just one day. I'm like, I really want to go do something that I love. I had already bought a trailer pit and I'd been playing with it for years and, thought I was awesome. I was a backyard cook at best and
Yeah.
wanted to really learn the commercial side of barbecue. And as I went to Miguel, I saw they were hiring and had an interview with them. And the rest is history. I'm never going back.
That's rad. So what was the first thing you were doing? Were you doing overnight cooks or?
Oh yeah, my schedule generally at Valentina's was for 2 years overnights. I'd
Okay.
come in at 2:33 in the morning and I would leave at around 11 to noon.
How was that for you?
It was great, loved it. There's something about being out in the dark at night by yourself, pits going. It's just quiet, calm. I mean, we had a ton of work we were doing, but it was peaceful. Then the crowd would start rolling in about 8 in the morning, and they have quite a crowd there.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do, and they still do. And I know that. I think I had seen that they're. I think they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays now because of.
Yep, they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. They were just closed on Tuesdays. Most of the barbecue world will close on Monday. He decided to close on Tuesday.
Which is smart.
It's very smart. He had great Mondays.
Well, because a lot of people that would come for festivals and things would stay over the weekend, and then that would be like their last stop before going to the airport.
Oh, we saw it all the time. All the time. People would show up there in an Uber with their luggage on the way to the airport, have their breakfast, have their lunch, and then go straight to the airport.
So how long did you work at Valentina's?
Just over 2 years.
Over 2 years. And were
Yep.
you doing just, so you weren't just doing primarily brisket. You were putting all the meats on, right? Like.
Everything. Yep. We were prepping and cooking everything. That's correct.
How were you at the beginning and how, what did it feel like that first overnight cook? Were you worried that you didn't know what you were
Overwhelming.
doing?
Overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. At home, you get your brisket and you take a good 20, 30 minutes to cook, to trim and prep that thing. You're doing 42 briskets a day there. You got trimmed that time down to like under 3 minutes,
Wow.
3 to 4 minutes per brisket. That's a lot of brisket to trim.
Yeah, and you have and there's certain specific standards there that they that each restaurant has its own standards and they like it.
And Miguel's standards are extremely high for a reason. I mean, he's absolutely one of the best around. It's
Definitely.
still one of my favorite restaurants to eat. It's my favorite breakfast in town, hands down.
Oh yeah, easily, without a doubt. And it's yeah, it's just I'm glad and I'm hoping that like places like that, all these places stay in business, and I think they will.
I think Miguel's going to be just fine. He's got a really talented staff too.
And he has enough outdoor like seating that kind of indoor, I guess, kind of
For
unique.
sure.
Yeah.
It's like a he hasn't moved to brick and mortar yet. I think that's coming, but right now it's like a trailer complex. I mean, he's
Yeah.
got a service trailer. Behind that, he's got full trailer that's just for prep. Behind that's where your pit trailer is, where you prep all the
Oh,
meat.
that's true.
He's got 1, 2, 3, 4 other pit trailers.
Does he have Moberg?
No, he's designed and had his own built.
Okay.
I believe it's a guy outside of San Antonio that does his work.
Yeah, I forgot. I know I talked to him, but I don't remember. I forget asking him that specific question. But now, so how long did it take before you felt comfortable cooking there? Like when you felt like I'm in a groove and you felt like you really knew what you were doing.
It took several months. Several months. I mean, it's overwhelming when you're used to cooking one brisket and prepping one brisket, and then all of a sudden, he starts you off easy. Easy meaning he'll throw 12 to 15 in front of you and say, "All right, I'll see you in an hour." You're just looking at it going, okay, what do we go? Where do we go from here? Half of them, he's like, that's not good enough. You got to do this, 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 and this. But I mean, it was great. I got to learn from one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
I had another really good friend named Bron Hughes, who
Oh
was
yeah.
over at Franklin at the time. And I was friends with Bron pre my barbecue career.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm friends with his sister and his brother-in-law, and that's how I met him. He's part of my fantasy football league, has been for about 12 years now. Fantastic guy, fantastic cook too. Probably the best brisket cook I've ever been around.
I've heard he's like a witch, and we've talked a lot, and I've always said like, hey, and like he's like, let me just do a little bit more in my life before I want to talk to you. Like it's always he's very humble too.
He's very humble, and he's not looking for the limelight at all. And I
No.
think this kind of makes him even a little uncomfortable,
Yeah, no, I'd have.
but fantastic guy. And when he found out I went over to Valentini's, he's like, come on, man, why didn't you come over to Franklin? And I was like, oh, you guys are number one. I'm looking for the guy who's up and coming.
Yeah.
So I started with Miguel before we got on the 50 top 50 list.
Okay.
So I was there before and after.
Because we're gonna jump to the next to your next spot, but what was that like when the list came out? Was it mayhem?
It definitely affected business, but we were already slamming by then anyways. They were definitely on the radar when I went to
Yeah.
go work, for sure.
And it's not like it's a place 150 miles from a large city. It's in Austin. People already.
It's in the heart of it. It's in South Austin, which there wasn't a lot. There still isn't. There's really no competition for him in South Austin right now that I know of.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so he's kind of got South Austin to himself. And
What was it like working at Style Switch? That was your next spot, right?
yeah, I was there for a brief second. Yeah, I was there. My plans had always been, even when I went to go work at Valentina's, and I was very upfront with Miguel, even during our interview, that I was going to open my own little operation. I moved over to Style Switch after working for Valentina's for a couple of years, and I was there with Lance and Bill Dumas. That was
Okay.
back when Bill was with them. Lance Kirkpatrick and Chris McGee. And I learned a lot from those guys in the short amount of time I was there. Shane Styles, he's a wonderful person. He helped me through quite a few personal things too. He was great, but
Yeah, Shane's great. What a great group of people. And then Chris, I think, works at the Switch now in Dripping, right? Isn't he down
he
there?
does. And they had moved Bill over there eventually too, but Bill is now, I think, with Brotherton. They
Yeah,
broke.
yeah, yeah. Bill has his own, like, he walks to his own drum beat.
Oh, for
He's a
sure.
unique individual.
For sure. My joke with Bill is he lives out even further away than Dripping Springs. And I'm like, do you just look for the furthest place that you can possibly work? I mean, that guy's commutes over an hour a day.
But he seems like he could do anything. He would commute 2 hours for like the funkiest job. He was,
Yeah,
I think
I
so.
love him. He's a great dude. But so I was there, and but the opportunity arose for me to finally do my own thing, and it arose quicker than I gonna happen.
Was that for Whitfield?
That was, and so it was a really, really tough decision for me. I was going through a lot at that time. I was going through a divorce at that time,
Yeah, no, I
and
went through a divorce. I know what it's like. It's not easy.
yeah, I had a lot of stuff going on, and but the opportunity arose to where I could actually do my own thing, and it was a really tough decision for me. It was kind of one of those, it's now or never. So I opened up my own trailer with a couple of business partners,
Gotcha.
and we were it's still open actually today.
Where was that at? And wasn't that too? Was that whose idea was the strawberries?
No, that was one of my partners is a guy named Josh Watkins.
Okay.
Josh Watkins is not a barbecue guy at all. There were three of us. I was the barbecue guy. Josh Watkins is an amazing chef, like classically trained chef. CIA in San Francisco.
Awesome.
He's the youngest executive chef at the Driscoll Hotel, which is a very
Yeah.
fancy hotel here.
Isn't it haunted?
Some people say it is. And then he moved on to open another very nice restaurant in another hotel on UT's campus called the Grillion. The rest is kind of history. He actually did some consulting out here at Treaty Oaks too before we started our thing too.
Oh, really? So what year did you guys start Whitfields? And what's Whitfields? Is that someone's last name or is that?
It was so there were three of us, and Josh was the guy with who had run and built restaurants and the executive chef background. I was the barbecue background, and the other guy was just somebody looking for something to do. But he was an ex UT football player.
Okay.
He played on the national championship team with Vince Young,
Oh, wow.
so he has some name recognition around town. So the three of us got together and decided we were going to do this little deal, and didn't work out. We split ways with Josh. Me and Josh are still tight today. And then basically Whitfield's came from the third owner's son. It was his son's name.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We named it after his son because he actually owned I owned the barbecue trailers. He owned the service trailer. Josh had the experience, and he owned a shell of a trailer. Josh paid to have the entire trailer built out.
Gotcha.
So those were our equal shares. And then Josh parted ways with us. And then the third partner decided that I think he just didn't want any partners anymore. So we split ways too. And I lost a couple pits over that.
Oh, man.
He's still running it today on very limited hours. But, you know, I believe everything happens for a reason. And then this opportunity out here at Treaty Oaks just literally dropped into my lap.
So you went right from there to Treaty Oak?
Yep. And about 2 months later, yeah, and at home, a friend of mine's like, hey, I went and played golf with this guy from Treaty Oaks. And they were talking about how they want to change their format out there and do barbecue. He was asking me if I knew anyone. And I said, actually, I do.
I kind of do.
So I gave him your name. And at this point, I was thinking about going back into construction. And I did not want to do that.
Yeah.
So I came out and met with them literally the next morning. And by the afternoon, they were like, come work for us.
Oh, wow.
The rest is history. It's the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me. This is the most amazing company I've ever worked for.
They are so great. Like, it's so positive. It's just a business with a soul.
They do. The first day I was here, they handed me a T-shirt that said, it said family. That's all it said on it. And they said, you're part of the family now, whether you like it or not. And they truly, truly mean it. The ownership here is just fantastic.
Oh.
I cannot say enough about Daniel Barnes as a person or as a boss or as an owner. I mean, he's wonderful to work for.
That's so great to hear. It's refreshing to hear because not every boss is great. Not every owner is great. And not every owner even has a connection with his employees.
Right. Daniel's very hands-on. The restaurant, I think, is kind of like his baby. He loves food, but we're on the same page with just about everything, and he just lets me go.
So was there a restaurant at all on site before you came?
There was. It had one for 5 years, but I don't think it had ever done very well, and we're killing it now.
Oh, I know, and I've heard just amazing things. What a great experience, a chance to kind of tool a menu and do what you wanted to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What was the menu at the beginning, and what's the menu now?
Well, the menu before with the previous... They were hiring chefs,
yeah,
and it was all over the place. They really didn't have a direction.
What did you do to change the menu?
We went full barbecue. That's what we did, and it's always changing, and it always will be changing. You know, our motto out here is Pursuit of the Curious.
Yeah, I saw that on the side of the bottle. I've taken photos of that. That's rad.
And we live by that. I mean, we want to try something. We try it. Sometimes it works. Most of the times it does work. Sometimes it's horrible, we're always playing, you know. And I've just hired a guy that owned a live fire restaurant in Peru for 10 years, a Peruvian guy.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's bringing some awesome new flavors and styles to the table.
Oh, that's so cool. What was your menu like pre-COVID, or is it the same menu right now?
We're going back to our previous menu today.
Okay.
We dumbed it down for COVID just because we were running on a skeleton crew. In fact, we're still on a skeleton crew today. We're not going to get some guys back until next week. It was mainly handheld stuff and sandwiches, and then we did three, like, big family packages to go.
Yeah, I saw those. What's your menu starting today?
Our menu's back to kind of what it was. It's very barbecue driven. We've brought a lot of the sides back. We kind of ditched the family meals for now because that's just a lot to put on the staff that I still have here. So it's going to be a lot of sandwiches, a lot of meats by the pound.
And what proteins do you have?
We have brisket, of course. Although brisket is getting very, very tough to get.
It's getting expensive, right?
It's getting very expensive. Like, U.S. Foods is my purveyor, and they're paying now probably a little bit more per pound for brisket than I was paying them before all this happened.
So they are paying. Oh,
they
shoot.
Are paying a little higher than what my price through them was 2 months ago.
A couple of days ago, I got on a Texas A&M Zoom thing that Jeff Sable and David Griffin, and it's mm-hmm. it's interesting. Like, it's going to be there, and it's going to get even more interesting because of production and the amount of cattle there. What it is,
it's not that there's not enough cattle out there. It's there's not enough processing plants to take.
That's
the
what heart. I'm saying. Yeah. Uh-huh. So they're going to get big. Like there's going to be massive beasts.
So I've been told, like, when this gets back up and running, expect to see briskets up to like 25 pounds. I'm telling you right now, and that does not excite me too much. But
oh my God.
And right now, it's kind of like I've got a very good relationship with our rep. A fantastic rep. In fact, I believe that he has sold more brisket consistently than anybody else in the entire company of U.S. Foods.
Wow.
And his background is barbecue, and he's like, I'll get you brisket. You just got to bear with me.
Yeah.
So some of it's coming in small. Some of it's coming in frozen. Some of it's coming in.
Yeah, I've heard the frozen part, and then also it's creeping up to $6 a pound.
It's gonna get crazy. It's definitely gonna get crazy.
So you'll have brisket, but that also too, it'll be as things will, like, as the market bears, right?
Exactly. We still were able to get our ribs. Turkey's not a problem. Pork butt, we're still doing that. We're doing some chicken thighs.
Are you making sausage?
I am not making sausage, but I am buying it through Texas Sausage Company.
Ah.
Yep, I'm sure you've heard of them.
Yeah, they're great.
They're fantastic. And they do such a good job. Sausage is a lot of labor.
Of course.
And you almost have to have one full-time person dedicated to just do it if you want to pump out the volume we sell.
And the cold storage and everything required, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff. And Scott over at Texas Sausage just does such a fantastic job. I wouldn't even dream about using anybody else right now.
And you'll have sausage too.
Oh, absolutely. It's not to say that someday we might not do a little special run of our own stuff,
Of
but
course.
I don't ever see us. I don't, with the product he puts out and the consistency that
Yeah,
he
why
puts it
should
out.
you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and plus, I don't think I could even do it for what I for what we buy it for through him. I can't say enough good things about Scott over at Texas Sausage. He's become a personal friend, and he is just fantastic guy and a fantastic operation.
That's so great to hear. No, that's nice to hear too, because I've heard, I haven't heard anything personally about it. I've just heard about the company, so that's great to hear.
No, he's a fantastic dude.
So what sides then will you be having right now?
Right now, it's still pretty basic. We're going to do just your basic. We do borracho beans, and we have a tomato feta cucumber salad that's tossed in a
Oh.
champagne vinaigrette with dill, which is really nice. Also, we have a garden here, so a lot of this fresh stuff would come straight from our garden.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, that's cool.
We have a whole sustainability program, and we have a lady named Jamie Beal who does a fantastic job running our gardens and whatnot. And I can pretty much tell her what we're going to be doing, and depending on the season, she can grow me a lot of it.
So you have like a compound there, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It's great.
Are they gonna eventually have lodging on site? Is that something like they'll
That's been kicked around, but if we do that, I think it would be several years down the road.
But it would be kind of a neat thing, like to have cottages or do something like
Well, we're kind of out in the country, and there are a few properties like that out here that are
That's
very,
they're just
very close, and we have deals with them. So if we have people coming in from out of town, we can usually get them a good rate on the lodging around here.
And there's cool things. Like it's such a beautiful part of Texas.
Oh, it's gorgeous out here. It's
Yeah.
wonderful. It's one of the best parts. This is the first job I think I've ever had where, it comes time for you to come home, and sometimes you don't want, really want to go home yet. You'd rather just sit out on the quiet property after everybody's left and have a cocktail with the guys you work with in the rocking chairs, and the breeze is blowing through. You don't hear the city sounds. It's I forget what the term they use, but it's a dark community, which means there's no street lights, there's no billboards,
Oh, that's neat.
stars, and but yet Austin's 20 minutes down the road. You can be there in no time.
Exactly. So if someone's flying into Austin, when people are flying into places again, they could, or driving into Austin, it's only 20, yeah, 20, 25 minutes at the most. Like probably
Yeah.
even now it's probably 18.
Yeah, and well, there's just really no traffic, and it's beautiful windy roads, and it's a great feel out here.
So what, how many days a week will you guys are setting that you guys are open now? It'll be Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then gonna kind of evaluate for next week. Are you guys gonna probably be open 5 days a week, you think? Or what's the kind of
Eventually, the model will be to move to 6 days a week.
6 days a week.
Yeah, and probably with Mondays closed. Right now, every week's different. I don't foresee us even thinking about that until we're at least 50% open. So right now, we'll probably be running Friday through Sunday, noon to nine. But if anything pops up, like Cinco de Mayo, for example, we're going to be open for Cinco de Mayo, and we're going to do some specials there,
Yeah.
which is on this next Tuesday. But yeah, we're going to baby steps. We're putting our toe in the water right now, and we're going to see how it works.
And I know you guys have cocktails that you offer, and especially you can get all the whiskeys plus gin, but you could also get cocktails.
We're the only license through the state, the Texas Alcohol Beverage Commission, the TABC, that allows for the production and sale of wine, beer, and spirits.
Wow.
Only one that's ever been issued. We have a brewery on site. It's just meant to service the property, though. You're
Okay.
never going to see it at a retail establishment.
Okay.
It's you can buy it to go here, though. Our liquor is distributed across the United States.
Yeah.
And we're even out in California
Yeah,
there.
no, I can get it at BevMo, at Total Wine. There's a lot, yeah, a lot of places, yeah.
Yep, we're in Total Wine. We're in, yeah. In fact, Young's Market is the one who distributes us out there.
So I come visit. It's 25%. Hopefully it'll be 50%. I can see pretty soon. But I sit down. We order. You order with the waitress. You can get meats by the pound as well as sandwiches and stuff too.
Absolutely,
And
absolutely.
order drinks. Spent up to 2 hours right now.
Plenty of drinks, and our drinks are fantastic. We'll get you in trouble.
Because you guys have a and you guys have a the what's Rick's? Is it Rick's Bar? Is that what it is?
It's the Rickhouse
The
Bar.
Rick House.
Yeah, so They call the storage facilities where you age
Oh,
barrels.
I've heard of that term.
They call it a rickhouse. And so we have a rickhouse bar, which is kind of an open air bar. The sides fold up and it's all open air. When sports are going on, that's cool. We got a lot of TVs in there, but that's obviously not going on right now. And it's a really cool place to hang out on the property. And that's where people are going to be able to walk in and get a drink while they're waiting for their table.
Waiting for their table as well as wait for the market stuff too, right? If they could.
Absolutely. We're still running the market out of there for sure.
And the market, is it best to order online ahead of time? Is that what you're recommending for
That's
people?
generally the best way to do it
Okay.
because that way we can control the inventory. We put everything in the computer that we have, and that way you're seeing in real time what we have available.
And I want people to know, and I'll put a link to it, and I'm doing a companion blog piece, but I want people to know that market isn't just like just eggs and something. It's there's a lot of stuff.
Oh, there's a ton of stuff. You can get a ton of stuff through it. I mean,
No, it's
the plus is
impressive.
our community, and as they've asked for certain items, we've added them. It started off a little smaller, like the essentials, toilet papers, eggs. We did some deli meats. We did, bread, of course. Bleach became a big one.
Of course.
Sugar, and then all of a sudden, I think everybody wanted to start baking their own bread. So we brought in some flour. We brought in some yeast.
That's awesome.
We've really just listened to our community and what their requests of what they need. We're out here in Dripping Springs, and there's really one grocery store. That's it. And that grocery store got to the point where it had
It's overwhelmed.
a line around it. The county sheriff letting one person in at a time. They were doing curbside pickup service, but you'd make your appointment. It would be a week and a half out
Yes.
before you even get something from them. So we were like, we can help here.
That's great. No, I think that's beyond great.
It started with like essentials, but then we got into like people want Mexican Coke, people want some Gatorade, coffee, whatever.
And people can ask you guys ahead of time and ask you and see if you can locate something for them. That's always that's you guys were taking suggestions. I saw that like people and that's how like you said you built out that menu of items.
Yes, we just listened. That's what we did.
So now with Alice's, do you guys prior to COVID, were you selling out of certain meats?
No, we were. My capacity right now is, I think at the most, I can really, if I'm really pushing it, I can pump out about 35 briskets a day.
Okay.
They take the longest, of course.
Yeah.
So I still have to have time on those pits to do all the other meats. So I can, if I'm pushing it, I'm comfortable with about 30
Okay.
being on par, putting it
That's a
out.
decent amount, though.
That's a decent amount, but we're still selling out.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to, we don't want to be one of these places that is open for 3 hours and then says, "Hey, we're sold out and open tomorrow again,"
Yeah. We want people to enjoy their time there.
Yeah, we want people to enjoy their time there, and part of enjoying their time here means they get top-notch
Yeah.
barbecue. That's all going to be fixed as soon as Ryan gets me my 1,000 gallons from back line.
Exactly. And so this, in case I don't add a lot of that first part, you have two right now from Ryan at Backland?
I have a Santa Maria grill from Ryan, and then we have one more
On
tower
the
pit.
tower pit, yeah.
Yeah, what's funny story about that is the style that Carlos Santini from Peru, that's what he's used to cooking on.
Oh, that's
And
cool.
the very first pit that Ryan ever built for himself, he started it out in California without even really knowing what he was doing. And so he got down here to Texas and started building the offsets. And he still had this one sitting around, and he used it a couple of times. But now that he's got his offsets, he rarely uses it anymore. And when Carlos saw it, he's like, "That's exactly what I want." He's like, "You guys can use it as long as you want." And so he just dropped it off for us to use, which was great of him. And we're showcasing it because Carlos is pulling some amazing stuff out of there.
Are you adding Peruvian?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And our sides, you asked about sides earlier. Right now, they're pretty basic barbecue stuff that we can execute with a skeleton team. But when we get back to like more normal hours, we're going to start doing some South American influence as well.
Oh, that's so cool. That's awesome.
He does some yuca fries with a queso fresca sauce that are just absolutely out of this world.
Huh.
He does a chimichurri that's like nothing you've ever tasted. In fact, I don't even want barbecue sauce on my meat at all. Well, I never really was a big barbecue sauce fan.
But chimichurri is a great, what a great compliment.
Brisket and just about anything. I don't care what you. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, bread.
And that's an item we're probably going to be taking to retail pretty soon as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Our barbecue sauces and our rubs, they're all going to go to retail. They were on their way. We were almost there. And then this hit. So they've been postponed. But distribution through Amazon, Whole Foods, a grocery store here called H-E-B.
Yeah,
I think
H-E-B is awesome.
my favorite. That's why I can't leave Texas anymore.
I know. That's made me so sad because I lived in Taylor and worked in Austin. And they had the HEB was the big thing, and I kept telling my friends, "I'm like, you won't believe what they have here. It's not a
Yeah,
real
you have
market."
no idea. I mean, that grocery store. I seriously don't think I'll ever leave Texas, and that's a big part of it. I mean,
It's fantastic, but it's mostly South Texas. It's not in the northern
it's
part.
not really in the. It's moving slowly into the Dallas Fort Worth Metroplex, I
Oh, it
think.
is. Okay.
But yeah, for now, it's basically Waco and South.
It was like it's like in and out. Eventually, it'll be everywhere.
Same with Whataburger now too. You know?
I know that'd be weird to see one pop up in Los Angeles. That would be interesting.
It'll be coming.
To wrap this up, what else do people need to know? It's Alice's Restaurant. Is it? But on the Treaty Oak website, that's where you can get all the information about Alice's, right?
Absolutely. You can get anything you want. Follow our Facebook. We're always putting specials up, deals, events. We do a lot of events out here that are a lot of fun.
And the events will, and a lot of events will be coming up. It's not, it's you guys, this Texas isn't going
We were
dark.
averaging about two events a week before this
I
happened, and
know.
all of those have been canceled, and now we're trying to fit them into a really, really, really small time frame when we come back. So it's going to be crazy. There's no place I'd rather be doing it.
You seem really happy and you seem really excited and like driven. It just seems like something that, like, I know you are a hard worker because obviously talking about your history, you've done a lot of hard work throughout your life, but this seems like kind of like the cherry on top of everything you've done.
Oh, it's wonderful. And it's really not hard to do hard work when you're working for a place like this.
No.
And that's just not me. That is everybody here. We have a fantastic team, whether they're in the distillery, whether they're cooking barbecue with me, whether they're on the marketing team or the sales team. It's unbelievable. Everybody loves this place.
That's awesome. What's your favorite whiskey?
Ghost Hill, hands down.
Ghost Hill? Is that why it's behind you?
Yep, that's it. That's the one that we make grain to glass here on site. My favorite cocktail here is the Kentucky Dreamin'. It's fantastic.
That's not like off menu, that's actually on the menu, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was like your secret drink that you get that people have to
No,
ask for.
no,
Okay.
no. It's wonderful. We hand make all of our cocktails here too, every week. Yeah, it's and they're all unique.
I want to visit so bad. I cannot wait. I was texting Lee again yesterday. I'm like, I just can't wait to come out and walk the property. And it just seems like this is a gorgeous place. And I want to eat your food. And I could live there.
We'd love to have you. Yeah, it's great. I've joked with the owner. I'm like, let me just buy a trailer and put it on property, and I'll be your security overnight, even. You know,
Yeah, I'll be security. Definitely. Well, cool. Well, have a great week. Good luck with today. Thank you so much, Scott, for doing what you do and also just for taking the time for this and sharing everything. And I think people will get a lot of this and learn about you because that's important, but also too about Treaty Oak and Alice's. It's what a great combination. You guys are all, yeah, I know. I saw the logo. My hat's in my car. I was going to wear that. Awesome. Well, take care. Thanks, Scott. And
Hey, thanks for having me on. I enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you here sometime.
all right, take it easy.
All right, appreciate
All
it.
right, take care.